Welcome to another Genesis study as we continue our verse-by-verse study of the book of Genesis, and we are in chapter 11. I want to give a hillbilly holler out to my Uncle Brian and my Aunt Barbara. They're busy people, and I don't know how often they get to listen to these studies, but when they listen to this one, howdy. And last I checked, they still claim me, and they are King James Bible believers. And a young man and all my cousins could not have asked for better aunt and uncle, better examples. They love the book. They love the Lord, and all of us know that. Been a wonderful example as a married couple. I don't know how many. I think they've been married almost 100 years, it seems. So God's blessed them, and they've been a blessing to a lot of other people. And my Uncle Brian is just a big, lovable ape. And my Aunt Barbara is a beautiful Christian lady. So we ought to be very thankful for the good people God puts in our lives. And you say someone's good, and someone always responds and says, oh, there are none good, no, not one. But you know, when you look at your Bible, and you look at what Paul said, in a practical sense, there are good people. None of us are good in comparison to Jesus Christ. Well, first of all, 1 Timothy 4:4 says, for every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused. So even the fallen creatures that we eat, in a practical sense, it's good. They are good. And then 1 Timothy 6:18 refers to they that do good, that they be rich in good works. And so when you do things for the glory of God and you do it by His Spirit, then that's good. You can do good. I mean, it's almost like a Calvinist thing that people teach about being good. And yes, none of us are good in the eyes of God compared to Jesus Christ. Even our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. But once you become saved, you have the good God in you. His Spirit is in you, and He can then cause you to do the good works. We do the good works that He works in us to do good. And then it says wicked in 2 Timothy 3:3 are without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. And that's just and Titus 1:8, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, and so forth. And so that's what I mean when I say that we ought to be thankful for the good people that God has put in our lives. If they're saved, if they are Spirit-filled, if they're living for the Lord, if they're a good example, thank God for them. So let's get into our study with a word of prayer. And God, we do thank You for this book. It is good and it is perfect, this King James Bible. And Lord, we thank You for folks like my Uncle Brian and Aunt Barbara and others that You've placed in our lives who have been examples, in samples to the flock. And we just thank You for those folks and pray You continue to bless them. But we do pray You come quickly. And in the meantime, we will continue to preach the gospel. We will continue to stand up for the truth. We will continue to read, study, and teach the Word of God, waiting for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And now we just ask You help us in our studies of Genesis chapter 11. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I wanted to respond to something. One of the last studies we did here in Genesis, I got a letter and someone said they enjoyed the studies, but they didn't like our King James only position. And their question was, where was the King James Bible before 1611? And I want to give a short answer and read a quote that explains this. The King James Bible is not brand new. In 1611, God didn't drop something new out of the heavens. And anybody who studies the issue knows that the apostles wrote, being moved of God, they wrote the inspired words of God. And that was then included to what the Old Testament prophets had given us from Genesis to Malachi. And those writings remained inspired so long as they were accurately copied. And the idea that only the originals are inspired is heresy. It's not just bad doctrine. It's not just wrong doctrine. It's damnable doctrine. It's heresy. And those Hebrew and Greek writings, when translated accurately into another language, remain the inspired words of God. And the old Latin before the Vulgate, and the old Syriac, and the old Italic, and the Bibles used by Waldensians and others were the inspired word of God. Tyndale came along and gave us the inspired word of God, and that went through a purification of seven revisions that culminated in 1611 with the King James Bible. And so the Bible's been around since God first spoke in the garden. The word of God was progressively being revealed until it was closed with the book of Revelation, and it's been here ever since. But today, the question is today, you English-speaking people, where do you get the Word of God? You get it in your King James Bible. All the other new versions are based on the corrupt, satanic, Vaticanus Codex. The United Bible Societies, the Nestle Allen, Westcott Hort texts are nothing but Vaticanus with edits, and they are corrupt. And that's it. You just learned all you need to know. Now read the book, believe the book, and that's set. It's done. Quote is taken from the book that I've quoted from a number of times, The Word, God Will Keep It, by Joey Faust, where he shows that King James onlyism is nothing new. Believers have always believed God gave them the infallible words of God, the inspired words of God that they held in their hands. And he quotes on page 49 of this book from the Congregational Quarterly, Volume 12, in the year 1870. And you've heard people like Peter Ruckman blamed for the King James Only movement. Well, this was, I guess, about 70 years before Peter Ruckman, or maybe 50 years before Peter Ruckman was born. And whoever else you want to blame, they weren't born at the time. This quote in 1870 from a guy named John A. Albro. He says, quote, "The design of its authors, the King James translators, was not to make an entirely new translation, but to gather up in one complete and final version all that England's wisest and holiest men had done to make the Bible the common inheritance of the English people. It was, therefore, at its birth 1,000 years old." Did you get that? Where was the King James before 1611? It was, at its birth in 1611, 1,000 years old, and stood forth in its gigantic and glorious youth as the grand result of all the revolutions in literature, in religion, in government, which had made England what it was in the days of our fathers. End quote. And the reason England is dead today is because they've forsaken the King James Bible. No, not the originals. No, not the Word of God generically. They have abandoned the infallible book. And that's why America is dying today. America has abandoned the King James Bible with only a remnant of Philadelphian believers who have kept the Word of God. And so that's how we approach this book. We understand that it's the inspired Word of God. It is infallible. And we left off in verse 4 discussing the relation between Babel and today's world. And that's the kind of book we're reading, folks. It is as current as tomorrow's newspaper. And in verse 4 we read, it said, "And they said, Go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." And we talked about this us stuff. It's the socialist mentality that is in the year 2015. This is October of 2015, and we're seeing the campaigns for the upcoming election in November of 2016 already heating up. And the main candidates for the Democratic Party are Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders, and they're nothing but shameless socialists. And you've got a nation in America that is godless, that doesn't know the book, and if they did, they'd read stories like this and see that God hates socialism. Socialism is when the government steals from everybody that has and gives to the has-nots. And what the problem with socialism is, you eventually run out of other people's money, and socialism has always collapsed and usually ended up in war and millions of people being killed. Hillary says it takes a village. That's a communist talking. B.O. Obama, whose real name is Barry Sotero, he called himself a global citizen because he's a communist. And then, you know, even in things we talk about, the World Series, it's not a World Series, but they come up with that world stuff because they, by the time the World Series came around, the American children had been so brainwashed in this idea of the world, globalism, international this and that, Miss Universe, the president is the leader of the free world, world, universe, globalism. It's just pounded in your head. And don't miss the fact that what we're reading about here is not the United States of America. This Babel isn't the United States of America. Babylon isn't the United States of America. Mystery Babylon isn't the United States of America. But this is the ancient form of the United Nations. And America plays a huge role in the United Nations, being under the influence of the Jesuits and in service of the Vatican. And I'm here to tell you, your government serves the Vatican. And we can talk more about that at another time. But I would recommend a book I've been reading from the 19th century, where same time we got that quote we started off with. It's called Washington in the Lap of Rome. Washington in the Lap of Rome. And it's written by a Justin Dewey Fulton. The copy I got was published by Christian Pinto, and he gives a long foreword to it, which is actually pretty good information. But this is in the public domain. You can find it out on the internet and read it for free. Washington in the Lap of Rome. And that's just a reference there for those of you who want to do a little more digging and to see where I'm coming up with this idea that the United States of America's government serves the Vatican. It's been like that for a long time. And the reason why the Vatican loves the illegal immigration that's taking place and wants to continue that immigration is because it's mostly Catholics coming up from Mexico. And that's how they are taking over the United States of America without firing a shot. Of course, the Muslims have learned from this, and they're trying to do the same thing. And that explains why so many Muslims are coming into countries where they hate our way of life. And so they come here not to be a part of us, but to change us. It's a war of migration. They're trying to kill. They've pretty much already killed France and trying to kill all of Europe. They've taken over London. And they're doing the same thing, at least that's their game plan, doing the same thing here in the United States of America. So in verse 5, back to the text, as we see this and we see what's going on in our own world, it says in verse 5, and the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. Now notice that. Didn't say the sons of God. And this includes the descendants of Shem. And it doesn't say only Nimrod and the Hamites. It says the whole earth was of one language, and that includes the children of Shem, and they're not called the sons of God. So trash that false idea that the sons of God, a few chapters in chapter 6, refers to the godly line of Seth or whatever nonsense. There's no such thing as a godly line. They were all wiped out in Noah's flood. And here they're called, all of them are called the children of men, when we know they're talking about the human beings. Sons of God are angels in the Old Testament, and you and I are adopted sons of God by faith in the gospel, and Jesus Christ is the divine Son of God, which is why he's always referred to with a capital S. Now, this is mankind in their natural state. They naturally rebel against God. That's why Jesus taught in John 3:7, ye must be born again. If you're not born again, you're just the children of men. And all children of men go to hell. You are not all children of God. That's a flat-out apostate teaching to say all of us are children of God. No, we are not. You are only a child of God. There's a reference in Acts to being the offspring that Paul used from a pagan poet, and he used it in context about us being the creation of God. But never does the Bible say all of us are children of God. It says, to the contrary, go over to John chapter 1. And John chapter 1 and verse 12, it doesn't say, all of us are the children of God, let's just all get along. It doesn't say that. It says, but as many as received him, Jesus Christ, to them, who that? The children of men, gave he power to become what? The sons of God. Even, in that usage, it means specifically, to them that believe on his name. You cannot be a son of God. You cannot be a child of God unless you're born again and you believe on the name of Jesus Christ. And that means that if you don't, then you're just children of men. And so that's a universalist heresy that is taught by well-meaning Christians all the time. You know, and that they teach this. We talked about the self-esteem cult and all that. It goes hand in hand with it. Now let's look at verse 6. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do. And now, listen to this, this is amazing. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. That's not an exaggeration, folks, and God said it. What you just read is the verbatim quote from God. He says, now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. You have this situation just like today. The people is one. We have the United Nations bringing everybody in as one. It says they have all one language. And through the use of technology, we have no problem communicating now, especially when it comes to politics, education, and religion. And it says this they begin to do. This was only the beginning, and this is why God came down and as Barney Fife would say, nip it in the bud, because he had to put a stop to it, because what he said's next. Now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. And we already read that the imaginations of men are wicked always, from the very beginning. And we read in Jeremiah, it says that the heart of man is deceitful, is wicked, deceitful above all things. Who can know it? So God wasn't going to allow, and still isn't going to allow, man with his wickedness to just go on and destroy creation with his wickedness. Folks, he's long-suffering. He's putting up with a lot. And I've said before many times, it's a good thing Greg Miller's not gone. I would have killed him all a long time ago. And I'll be man enough to admit I would have killed Greg Miller before I got saved. I was a punk. Now, the inherent goodness of man, hogwash. And so when you allow man to just go unfettered, listen, it's just like atomic energy. Atomic energy is not evil. Man is evil. And man took atomic energy and used it to build an A-bomb that would kill, you know, 100,000 people in a blink of an eye. And they've used atomic energy in other depleted uranium. And depleted uranium weapons is the source of most of what's called the Desert Storm Syndrome that's killing off tens of thousands of American soldiers and so forth. So man will take something, TV, internet, music itself, entertainment, all these things, books, none of that stuff's inherently evil. None of it is. But what's man do when magazines came out? One of the first things it did is put out porn magazines. And, of course, the internet come out. Now the biggest moneymaker on the internet is pornography. So that's what man does when man takes this technology, his ability. It's his ability. God says, now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. That's why when you guys saw, some of you guys are old enough to have seen Star Trek when it originally came out, or maybe you saw the reruns during the 70s, and now what do we got? I mean, we're so technologically advanced from Star Trek. At first, we had flip phones. Now they don't even flip. We're so far beyond that. And I mean, there's some things we can't beam people up, as far as I know, but they're working on it. And warp speed to go through the universe, as far as we know, but they're working on it. And God's going to shut it down. He's going to shut the whole works down, but in his time. And he's going to do so because man will not use these things for good. Man will use them for wickedness. And there's some confusion in the next verse when God says this. Go to, this is verse 7, go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. Now, one source of confusion is it's God talking. He says, let us go down. Well, of course, that's the Trinity. That's the Godhead. There's three persons in one God. We can't fully understand it, but we know that's what the Bible teaches, so that's what is true. Truth is not based on what you can understand. And truth does not require your understanding. Truth is truth. There are things that I know are true that I do not understand. And electricity is real. I don't understand it, but it's real. I've watched programs. I've learned. There's things I've done, these great courses which college professors teach, and I've watched YouTube videos by experts, and I've known electricians and everything, but it still boggles my mind. And even more so when it comes to the Scripture, there's things that we may not fully grasp, but it's true. Now, there's not three gods. There's one God in three persons. Get that straight. And so, without the Trinity, and without the understanding of the triune Godhead, there's no way to understand this verse, really. It's just, you just figure that, spiritualize it and that sort of thing. And by the way, people get spooked about using the word Trinity. Well, the word Trinity isn't in the Bible. Well, the word Bible isn't in the Bible either. The word incarnation is about God becoming man as he did in Jesus Christ. But that word incarnation is not in the Bible. People say, oh, the word rapture isn't even in the Bible. Well, it is in the Latin Bible, and it means caught up, and that is in the Bible. So that's childishness. Don't get caught up in the childishness that so many of these YouTube novices get into when they teach this stuff, and they cause all kinds of confusion. The Trinity is true. The Trinity is biblical. The Trinity is a word used to describe a Bible doctrine. And then there's also confusion here because it says God comes down to cause division. It says, and there confound their language that they may not understand one another's speech. That's contrary to what we're being taught today. God is not a divider. God's a unifier. God wants us all to get together and hold hands and sing the Coca-Cola commercial. I'd like to teach the world to sing. Or Michael Jackson and the whole, we are the world. We are the children. Or John Lennon's, imagine there's no heaven. And all that crap that people have been pushing down in the heads and the ears and the minds and the eyes and the thoughts of all the children in this world since before the 60s, pushing this stuff. The fact is, God is a divider. Jesus Christ said, you think I've come to bring peace? No, but a sword of division. And Jesus divides. Now, some of you may not believe me when I tell you that. So let's look it up real quick. I think we've got a minute. Jesus said in Matthew 10:34, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Ain't that something? Jesus is not a uniter? But why doesn't God want us all to... It's because you have an opinion, and you don't... Just check your opinions out and say, I'm going to believe the Bible. I'm going to worship the God of the Bible as He is, as He presents Himself. I'm not going to force God into my little mind and thinking. God divided the entire planet. Verse 8, read it. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. And that is why God is the enemy of mankind today. And if you are a Bible-believing Christian, you are public enemy number one. Even the political conspiracy theorists hate you. You are the enemy. Why? Because, listen, if you listen close enough to these guys like Mark Dice and Alex Jones and these guys, their agenda is no different from the Illuminati. They want to bring the whole world together as one against the Illuminati so that we can have a real good world. See, the Illuminati wants a one world, but they're evil. We can do it our way, and it'll be wonderful. Hogwash. To use some original Greek. Man is wicked and evil. I don't care what politician, what radio talk show host, what YouTube guru, or whoever you want to follow, David Icke's with his reptilian nonsense and all that stuff, where we've got to defeat the reptilians and then we can all come together in a cosmic oneness and have a world of peace and baloney. The only way we're going to have peace on earth is when Jesus Christ comes back with his people on white horses and he destroys the enemy, sets up his kingdom for 1,000 years, and in his long suffering and love, he's going to continue to allow these mortal scumwads to stay in his kingdom for 1,000 years. And then at the end of the 1,000 years, he's going to loose Satan, who has been in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years, to prove that these scumwads are scumwad sinners and rebellious God haters who need to be destroyed. And then at the end of that millennium, when he does that, he'll destroy them all, and then we'll have peace on earth. Not until then. I don't care what you think. I don't care how much you try. You are not going to have peace on earth for at least 1,007 years. And then you add whatever time we have between now and the confirmation of the covenant in Daniel 9:27, when the 7 years of tribulation, the final 70th week begins the countdown of 7 years. Between that and the end of the millennium is 1,007 years, and we don't know how much time there is before that. And until then, you're not going to have world peace. So verse 9 says this, "Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth. And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth." Boy, that really blows your mind if you're indoctrinated in the public schools, doesn't it? And if you've gone to these Laodicean, Joel Osteen, Rick Warren, Roman Catholic, New Age, liberal Protestant bastions of hell that called churches, if you go to any of those places and you've listened to what they taught, they teach you about a God who loves everybody and just wants everybody to get along. You read the Word of God, you're going to find out that God is a whole lot different than he has been totally misrepresented by people calling themselves theologians and preachers and politicians and the rest. God scattered them abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Get to know the God of the Bible. Junk this fictitious idol that's been set up by man and get to know the God of the Bible. Jesus Christ is God, and he is the manifestation of the triune Godhead on earth. Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. He died, was buried, and rose again, conquering sin and death. And when he returns, he's going to destroy the wicked, and he's going to set up his kingdom. And at the end of the millennium, the final rebellion will be destroyed. And then Jesus will rule and reign for eternity. And if you're on his side, you'll rule and reign with him for eternity. Amen.
Solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.
Fall is a beautiful time of the year. Just watching the changing of the leaves on a warm sunny day with blue skies and a nice breeze. It's a good time to sit down with an open Bible on the back porch and let the creation sing as you read the Creator's book. Learn more about that book at bbfohio.com and by listening Saturdays at noon and Sundays at 9:30 p.m. to Bible Believers Fellowship on 91.5 Freedom FM.